Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody, boys and girls, men and women, all dudes, dudettes. This is With All Dude Respect, With All Dude Respect, and we are live right now every Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Catch us on Facebook, With All Dude Respect, and you catch me, Jim Ellis, here on the West Coast. And then we have someone way over there on the East Coast. Who do we got?
Rick Wright on the East Coast. Yo, yo, yo in the house. MTV Raps.
How you doing today?
I guess I'm doing good. I brought back an MTV Raps reference. Holy shit.
What was I don't even know what that is. What year was that? MTV Raps?
Oh, my God, dude. That was MTV Raps when rap wasn't even rap. It was Ed Lover
had,
and some other dude.
That was before. I mean, that was like when they had the DJs and Martha Quinn. And no, that was after that.
It was after that. And then they had like a little show. Like, I guess they were like, you know, they had to address rap. So they had these two guys, but like, and they were rappers, but they weren't like, you know, the hardcore rappers now. They were like, you know, you're well behaved, you know. Very marketable rappers. I don't even remember watching the show, but I remember it used to be like, yo, 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 MTV Raps. So it was funny, like, when you came in and...
It's funny when that's what happens on live radio. Just something pops out from the histories of your mind. Brilliant. So what's going on today?
Random shit. What's going on today? Today, you know what? Today is cool. I had lunch with my mentor, Discover, Inspire sponsor.
Oh.
I haven't seen the man in probably over 8 years, and it was great. He moved up into the area, and he was at my house a couple weeks ago for a meeting that I was sick and wasn't at. So I told him, I said, why don't we do some lunch, and caught up with him. It was great. Great catching up with him. Great seeing him. He's doing well. It's weird. It's I don't know if you ever had this happen before, but like when you have a friend or someone who you really care about and you're connected with, and I really haven't talked to him much over the last 8 years, probably maybe half a dozen times, and you see them and you sit down with them and it feels like you never really left or you never really had a break. And yep. It was just cool. You know, I just sort of sat there with him and just, you know, shot the shit. And it was like shooting the shit with my brother. You know, it was like I've never not seen him in 8 years. So got along great. And that was
awesome.
Plus it was a great lunch, man. Great low carb lunch.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And I also know the feeling of the opposite. You see someone all the time and you'll never connect with them. It doesn't matter how long you hang out, but, I had an interesting thing along those lines. On Saturday, I did a meet the author event for my book at a library in town.
Yes.
And right before it starts, I look up at the door, you know, the entrance, and in walks a man who I pointed in a point program.
Wow.
You know, leading new men into the division of men in our circle. I pointed him 17 years ago. 17 years. It had been, and he's walking in the door. I'm like, what? Tom, what are you doing here? This is so cool. He goes, yeah, I saw a little blurb in the Santee Union Tribune, a little blurb that you were going to be talking. And so I came over, and I'm like, I can't believe it, but it's true what you're saying. It's like 17 years. It doesn't matter how long it's been. We went through a battle together, and so you're bonded. Done. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's funny too, because if you point at a man, sometimes that man gets a good experience of you. Sometimes he doesn't have a good experience, but probably got some value.
Right.
You know, like I know, I'll never forget my two-point men. One man, I see him often, he's still in my division, and one man I don't, and I really don't care if I don't see the other one, because he just made my life a living hell. And but I wouldn't change a thing because I got it, you know.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? I guess we have something going on this weekend.
Yeah.
If the whole world kind of watches. I don't know if the world does, but you just got pretty good ratings. What do you think about this Super Bowl? Or is it the Puppy Bowl?
Well, it's a Super Bowl. It's not going to be that super. You're saying that, probably be rated. I know what? I don't know. I'm gonna go on a limb, which is just tongue in cheek right there, that the ratings aren't gonna be as good as they usually are. And my reasoning is, and I'm gonna try to be as mature as possible here. I just to be totally transparent, I can't stand the Patriots. and I don't really know the Falcons. The first game I saw was the playoff game, against the. Yeah, Green Bay. That's the first game I saw all season. And every year, like, I hear they're either good or they're, sometimes they're really good and they just never make it. And then sometimes, this year they made it. So I'm going to say that, I don't know how many people are going to watch it. I'll have it on because I like the commercials and I'll watch it because it's a Super Bowl. I'm going to make it, me and my wife are going to make it more of a food event where we're going to have go get some food that we like and, just make it a little, make a little event, but like not go crazy. I'll put a fire in the fireplace. What do you think as far as the viewership will be?
Well, I know I saw some headline that was saying, just for hype's sake, I guess, people tuning in to hopefully watch the Patriots lose. Like there's a lot of people that want the Patriots to lose. A lot of people don't like the Patriots. I don't like the Patriots. I mean, I respect Tom Brady for freaking laser-eyed, focused winner that he is. Like, man, wish he was my quarterback. But, yeah, I can't stand the Patriots. And what's funny about the Patriots, like if you listen to their fans, they have this phrase, you hate us because we win. It's like, fuck that. That is not – I mean, I liked – like, I'm not a Peyton Manning fan, or I wasn't a, like, Colt fan or even a Broncos fan. But I didn't mind watching that guy win, He's like, it's like they're the good guys. The Patriots are the – it's not because they win.
Why do you think people hate them?
Well, things like that. I think for me, it's situations like this. Bill Belichick loses the game, and he runs off the field without shaking hands. And – it's shit like that. It might seem like a little thing, but it's called sportsmanship. It's called being bigger than your individual self or bigger, being bigger than the team, being a football champion. And a football champion, they win honorably and they lose honorably. And this fucker, I don't know. I mean, he's a winner, but not in my book. Things
well,
like that.
Else?
I mean,
like,
the cheating.
Yeah.
Not the Deflategate, because I think that was bullshit, but other stuff, other situations that. Go ahead.
Yeah, my thing is that I think that just the way he is, his way of being during press conferences.
Oh yeah.
Like he's just like he just can't even be bothered. And it was funny because the last Super Bowl, was it the last Super Bowl? I think it was the last Super Bowl where, I don't know, it could have been the one before that. These jackasses are in so many. He was actually yucking it up during Super Bowl week, and they lost. I haven't seen him yuck it, like smile or be more, like, jovial during these things since then. So I think that's also another element because he's, again, his record speaks for itself. They're going to go down as the greatest team, the greatest duo, because it's just in modern football. I don't know if you're going to be able to duplicate that. But, man, it's so easy to not like the man, He doesn't – and you know what? And there's something to be said for him not really giving a shit. He's not trying to win a popularity contest. He's got – his context is win at all costs, which, again, isn't – bad unless you're more than bending the rules.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just got to have a certain thought there. It kind of got away, but definitely you want to like root for someone, but they have to be like a human, you know. Like if that's not your team, and they come off like inhuman and cold and gruff, there's some unwritten rules, unwritten code, things like shaking hands after a game, that creates a sense of honor that goes beyond the fucking wins and losses. It's like it's just not about that at some point. In hockey, you know, after the playoff game's over or the series is over, you know, they all line up and they shake hands. It's like there's something bigger than winning, though, you know, winning's, you know, of course, the major goal. But there's a sport that's bigger than that. And so I think that's why people – plus, I guess you get a little tired of the same old fucking story. You know, you want a new you want a new team, Amy. You want maybe even the Lions rather – you know, the Lions or the Browns or somebody new. You know, they want variety, too. I think that's another thing.
Yeah. You see, definitely something, like, different, someone cool, like some kind of really good story. Like you even said, like, the Lions, you know. It's just, it's, you know, there's just so many other teams. But, hey, listen, they found the formula. They won. The one thing that's sort of, you know, sort of funny is, you know, it seemed like Goodell had this personal vendetta against, you know, Brady, and you know, at the end of the day, he might have to hand him the Super Bowl trophy. I don't think he'll hand it to him. He'll hand it to Kraft, and then Kraft will hand it to him. But they'll all be on the podium together after, you know, the whole Deflategate debacle.
That's the one time where I did want Brady to win, because that was an honorable battle. He was fighting for what's right, and Goodell is fighting for his ego. So, yes, now I want Brady to win. You know what I mean? It's not about Patriots or not Patriots. It's about, you know, what's right, what's fair, what's just. And that was – I still don't understand that one. It's, you know, even the report that came out of that Wells character when he did an investigation of Deflategate, he's like, well, maybe Brady caught – probably – I mean, all these words that are so not law. This is a lawyer, right? He might have known that maybe it was deflated. Oh, brother. Sounds a joke. But I must say that I'm very proud of myself. I must give myself props, even though I'm doing it all over Facebook, that I picked Atlanta to go to the Super Bowl in my dad's famous Pick'em Super Bowl before the season. So, like, in August of 2016, I have a listing of all the different teams, and I, of course, circled Miami, because I'm a homer. But I also had, like, you know, a star next to Kansas City and maybe New England and maybe even Cleveland for some reason. And then I picked Atlanta, though. So my team, my Atlanta team made it. Pretty proud of that.
That's
did
cool.
You have
now,
any,
is that like just – did you just – now, hang on a second. Was there any kind of money involved, or was he just – you just picked it?
Sadly – no, my dad just does it for fun. He's not like a bookie or anything. It's with the family. Like my wife, she's totally into it. So every week, he would send us the picks. And actually, my sister would text it to me. And it would be like the over and under, you know, the point spread. And we would all choose, you know, who we thought would win. I won the whole thing last year. And my niece, Grace, who knows very little about football, she totally kicked butt this year and she won. But so Atlanta. I mean, I guess it's kind of an interesting story in that, you know, it'd be kind of cool to see Atlanta beat Goliath. You know, that's always a fun story.
I think they can. And you know what? It's funny because, like, I love when you hear these statistics, the Joe Buck, right? You know, Brady has not thrown a playoff interception in 63 quarters. You know, I love when they just keep playing that over and over, because you know that's like just putting it out there to the universe, like, hey, universe, I think it's time to give this guy an interception. And you know, I think that if they're going to go score for score, Atlanta can definitely keep up with them. If not, you know, go more. And if they can, here's the thing, and I don't know why people don't get it. Just play in the box on Brady. Let him beat you down the field, but if you can just knock him down like the Broncos did, and just keep them moving around, there's a great chance to win. I don't know what happens when people – I don't know why teams just can't figure out how to just have everybody, like, in that literally 15 to 20-yard range and then rush the shit out of them. I don't know. Am I just being, you know, just throwing some stupid shit out there? Does that actually make sense?
I think the last playoff game there was that attempt. Like, you know what? We got to get to Brady. Because it's true. When the Patriots lose, when they pressure Brady – and he's knocked down. I've seen too many games where he's just like out there, oh, let me take my time and just destroy this other opponent. So, yes, the answer would be find a way to get to him. And why teams aren't able to, I don't know, but hopefully the Falcons will get there. So speaking of Goliath and the Patriots, one of my favorite Super Bowls is the Giants beating the Patriots. Are you a Giant fan?
I'm a huge Giant fan. I bleed blue.
Huge Giant fan. So, okay. So what were you going through? They beat him twice. But what was the game? Was it the first game or the second time? I think the Patriots were undefeated, which, of course, talks to my Dolphin fandom, you know, because the Dolphins are the only undefeated team so far in modern-day football, NFL. And so the Patriots were undefeated going into the Super Bowl. They played the Giants. Now, that was the game where the guy caught the ball on his helmet, like
David
one-handed.
David Tyree. I'll never forget that. And it was on. And then the catch was on Rodney Harrison, a major league doucher. And it's funny, till this day, like, every, you know, even like when, you know, when the Patriots are in, you know, they always go to interview. And to this day, he's like, yeah, man, I still haven't got over it. You know what? I believe the guy. But,
Rodney Harrison talks about it,
The David Tyree, I don't have a big Super Bowl thing, but every year my in-laws usually come over. And my father-in-law actually had knee surgery, so he's not coming over this year. And we weren't celebrating it anyway. But he was here. He's been here every year since then. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Like when you're watching a game, like it's just a great game. But like when shit happens like that, it's just amazing. It's just like it's so freaking cool. And I remember it, man. I remember the catch. I'm like, how did that thing stick to his head? Like, and nowadays, like, you know, where they like, is it a catch, not a catch? Like, how is it not replayed and like not overturned? It just was amazing, man. So that was probably that moment for me. And this is one of my questions for you. So that was one of my favorite plays, Super Bowl moments of all time. So what was, give me one or a couple of your favorite all time Super Bowl moments.
God, I remember when I was a kid, it was the games were really boring and bad. Like they were, the first few, you know, were pretty lame. Let's see. Well, that was actually one of them, you know, because I just so wanted the Patriots to lose, and my heart was racing, and then that catch. I gotta say, besides that one. I mean, my mind is filled with the ones that I hate, like when the Seahawks, when they were going in for a touchdown against the Patriots,
oh,
and they threw an interception on the 2-yard line. I'm like, was so bad. I'm like, that was so dreadful. Here's what pops in my head. What pops in my head, and it's not even a play. It's Don Shula, the coach of the Dolphins in 1970. Mm-hmm. It was January 12th. 1973, and the L.A. Coliseum. My dad was actually at that game in L.A. It was the final game, the Super Bowl, where the Dolphins win, and they win 17-0. Now, before they won that game, I mean, they were pretty much kicking the Redskins all over the place. And even though Miami was undefeated, the Redskins were favored in that game. And Miami ended up winning. But right before they were like, you know, they tried to put it away by having a field goal at the towards the end of the game because they were winning 14-0. And in that field goal, the little kicker, Garo Yeprimian, kicked the ball too low. It hit the it hit his own offensive lineman in the back of the head. He kicked it so low. And then he picked it up, which was his second mistake. And then his third mistake was trying to pass it. And after he tried to pass it, the other team caught it. And then he tried to tackle the guy, another failure. So going from 17, like they were going to win 17 to nothing. And instead it's 14 to 7. So it's like, oh, my God. Let the Redskins back in this game. But they did win that game. Shula was carried off, and it was a great moment.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, there's some there was something I heard today, because, you know, they now forget about it. From now until 6 p.m. Sunday, it's just going to be all Super Bowl. And I heard some kind of and again, I might be mistaken because I heard it, half heard it. But the Patriots copyrighted the undefeated season, even though the Dolphins had a total undefeated season, but they never copyrighted it and copywrote it. Is that a copywrote?
Weird.
The phrase are the same.
Oh. So because they're 18, like, they're 18, well, 16-0 in the season.
Yeah, because it was regular season.
Oh, brother. Okay, fine.
I don't know.
Sure.
But can you imagine? But they, you know, but they actually took it, you know? How wild is that?
That's weird. I was curious, too. Like, you talk about being you say bleeding giant blue? I don't know. What did you say about blue, giant blue?
I bleed blue.
Okay, you bleed blue. So when did that, I was curious. When did that start? Were we like a little kid, and when did that start?
No. Oh, my God. I'm surprised I'm going to admit this on radio. When I was a little kid, I was a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. You know, because they were, you know, because they were like, they were the team, man. They were America's team. They were, you know, Staubach, Preston Pearson, Robert Newhouse, Tony Dorsett. Randy White, Hollywood Henderson, Too Tall Joe. Like, I knew them all. Like, I still know them. Rattling them off now. And, you know, and I loved them. I had Dallas stuff. And then my father, I lived in Middletown. My father's friend had season tickets. And every year he would give my dad, he had four tickets, and he would give me two tickets. And he would always give me, because it was NFC, he'd always give me the home Cowboy game. So I'd go as a kid. And, you know, I'd be there with my, you know, my Dallas shit. And then, you know, as like, you know, when I got older and I realized, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not from Dallas. This isn't my, you know, this really isn't my team. And I just started liking the Giants. And this is when the Giants, like, sucked, man. Like, they weren't really good. Like, they had, like, Joe Pisarcik. And, like, that was when they had, like, they were playing the Eagles and he, like, fumbled. Like, they won the game, but he fumbled the snap. And they picked it up and, like, ran for the, you know, so it was like, it wasn't good. So as a kid, it would have been easy for me to be like, ah, you know what, maybe I'll just go back to the Cowboys. But I didn't. I always followed them, and I was glad I did, because I got to see, you know, I got to see all their Super Bowls, and I got to see, you know, it's tough sometimes because they don't really have rock stars. And the way they play, for a lot of years, they played ball control and smash mouth football, but it's not really fun to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what comes up.
I like the Giants. I mean, I like Manning. One play I do remember, because I guess you get a little sick of certain teams winning all the time, like we talked about earlier. Remember where the 49ers were winning all the time, and they kicked the Dolphins' ass once. Well, do you remember the play where Joe Montana went back to pass, and they were playing against the Giants, and a guy named Burt, B-U-R-T, he hit Joe Montana so hard that Montana flew backwards with a gigantic concussion, and he was out, like, wobbling off the field. I think that was the end of the Montana era. Do you remember that game or that play?
Yep, Jim Burt.
That was pretty famous.
Yep.
Bam.
It was Jim Burt. He was an animal. He's like, you know, he's like one of those guys you just see, and he's like sick as a, you know, you can just tell his fingers look like Italian sausages. He was just a madman. And
it was a good scene. I liked that one. So if I
what
if I go ahead.
Go ahead.
If I quizzed you, I was wanting you to, because like when you're a kid and you like a certain team, like you just did it earlier, you started listing off all these players, because as a kid it just sinks in. And even now, like the Dolphins, all the players, I can get a few of them, but when I was a kid, I memorized the 1972 Dolphins. That was the undefeated team, and my dad had the program from the Super Bowl, which I was mad he didn't take me to, but that's another story. But I memorized, like, the whole team, like, all the numbers and everything. Like, if I gave you a number, would you know the Dallas Cowboy player from when you were a kid? Or is
from
not
back
a number
then,
guy?
I probably would. You know, if you gave me a number, you say, okay, from that era, you know, the Roger Staubach era, you know, who wore, you know, 33, Dorsett, you know, Staubach 12, Preston Pearson.
How about 32?
32. 30, 32. Oh, you rat bastard. Was he like,
I think
he was an all-star, or was he like just a guy on the team?
No, he was pretty good. He chewed tobacco on commercials, and he was a running back. He was an actual cowboy in real life. In the rodeos, too.
Damn it.
Might have been right before your time. Walt Garrison.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know Walt Garrison.
Oh, my God. So you're like more...
I've heard of it.
Late 70s.
Yeah.
Okay, so 56.
Henderson, Hollywood Henderson.
Yeah, there you go. 79.
Harvey Martin.
Very good. See, I'm trying to think of another... you knew 54.
Randy White.
Yeah. And then
11
72.
Was Danny White.
That's right. 72.
Too tall.
All right.
Jones.
See? So go ahead. I want to see how I do with the Dolphins from 72. Of course, I can just make up a name.
hang on. Let me just see if I can. Fuck, man. I should have been. I'm like a terrible co-host. I should have been looking up the 72 Dolphins roster. And then just like, then I would have been able to say some stuff. So hang on one second. I got my trusty.
And I am not looking on, just so everyone knows, I'm not looking anything. I don't have the program anymore in front of me.
I can't believe this guy was even on the team and he took him to that. Who was of course you'd know this guy. Let's start out with an easy one, 12.
Bob Greasy. Got hurt.
Yeah.
Earl Morrill filled in.
Who was number 39?
39 Zonka, Larry Zonka, yeah.
I don't know if he was. He was playing that time. I don't know. I see a picture, but who was 85?
Oh, Nick Bonacani.
Did he play on that team?
Oh yeah, he led the defense. He had an interception against the Steelers in the championship game. And,
he's 85. Wasn't he a wide receiver? Or did he play both ways?
No, he was a linebacker. He was a middle linebacker.
What about 22?
Mercury Morris. Yeah.
What about 32?
Ingrained. 32 is Herbert Ginn.
What about 26?
I mean, that's like nobody, right?
Tough one. Well, 26.
Mumford, Lloyd Mumford. I'm telling you, dude, it's sick. It's a sickness.
I'll try a guard. Nobody knows who a guard is. Who's
Kuchenberg.
66?
Larry Little, 67 was Kuchenberg on the other side.
Oh, what about 62?
62 is Jim Langer, the center.
What about 42?
Oh, Paul Warfield, that fucking traitor, asshole. Him and Zonka and Kick left the Dolphins and started a whole new era of selfish football players. So yeah, this is fun stuff, man. And of course, we're like 30 minutes in already, so we could talk for hours about football. So I guess we're gonna have to close it up. But have fun on Sunday. Enjoy the commercials.
You do the same. Yeah, you do the same.
And then we'll pick it up again next week with another topic. And we'll go with all due respect.
Beautiful. Jimmy, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
All right. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon. Ciao.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye.